Let's pray before we open the Word of God together. Father, thank you so much for your holy Word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would fill our heart with just good news, that we can come together with our Savior at his table and celebrate today. And so I just pray that as we kind of wade through a difficult theological issue, that you, the Spirit of God, would make it clear so that we can celebrate accordingly. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you held your place in Romans 6, we're not far off this morning. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to join me in Romans chapter 7. As we come to the Lord's table, like I prayed, we're going to be wading through somewhat of a difficult theological issue. Partly this is a difficult theological issue because of the glorious truth of where we left off in our scripture reading, Romans 6:14. So as you're at chapter 7, just look again at that great verse, Romans 6:14, where it tells us, sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law, but under grace. And because of that truth, there's a theological issue that has raised. What exactly is a believer's relationship now to the law? And that's what we're going to try to just work through a little bit this morning and tackle together. And the Apostle Paul expounded on this great verse, Romans 6:14, in chapter 7. And as you read through chapter 7, you will clearly see that the law is a theme of this chapter because the word is used 23 times. And he explained in Romans 7 exactly what it means for a believer to be free from the law. And if we're free from the law, you know what that means? It means good news. It means, like we read in the scripture this morning, sin will have no dominion over you. Are you thankful for that, believer? That there's not a single sin that will have dominion over you in Christ Jesus. That's why I entitled this message, Freedom to Belong. And the big idea that I really hope you grasp and you're able to celebrate at the table this morning is this, that Jesus Christ suffered and died so that you, so that me, so that we might belong to him and bear fruit for God. So follow along as I read just these first six verses of Romans 7. Paul says, or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she'll be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who's been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we're released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And so what we have here is Paul's answer to the question found in Romans 6:15. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under the law but under grace? And the church says together with me the answer. Ready? By no means. By no means are we to do that. Why? Why does freedom from the law not then go on to result in lawlessness? Why does freedom from the law now result in sacrificial service of love by believers? Why is that? Well, here's why, if you're taking notes. It's because in Christ, you've died to the law. In Christ, you've died to the law. And what you notice as I read through Romans 7, verses 1 through 6, is that Paul set this all up by way of comparison. On one hand, he compared marriage and the marriage law with the believer and the law. And he says there in the first three verses of Romans 7 that if the husband dies, it's not unlawful then for the wife to remarry. Why? Because death sets her free from the law of marriage. And by way of comparison, he goes on in verses 4, 5, and 6 and says the same is true in a believer's relationship with the law. Death sets us free from the law. You see that clearly in verse 4. I draw your attention to it again here. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who's been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit. And so we come to the table together this morning and we celebrate that in Christ we have died to the law. That's worth celebrating. Why? Because you and I are free today from trying to earn a right standing with God through obedience to the law's commands. We don't have to try till we're blue in the face to achieve some sort of standard and some sort of position with God by obeying commands off of a page of Scripture. That's good news, right, church? Because you and I know as we read these commands, we all fall drastically short of them. We're unable to obey these commands to gain a right standing with God. Why is that? Because every single one of us in this room, we're guilty. We're lawbreakers. And so because of our guilt, because of our violation of the law, we're driven to rely on someone else to give us a right standing with God. And that someone else is God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in Christ is justified, is declared righteous by faith. We're united with Christ. That means that through his death, our salvation is secure. Our salvation is eternal. We celebrate that this morning. In Christ, you've died to the law. Jesus bore the punishment that the law required. Death. He fulfilled the perfect obedience that the law demanded. He obeyed all the commands, never once sinned in his life on this earth. And when he died on that cross, his death canceled out our sin debt. His blood paid it in full. And that's why Paul says in verse 6, we're released from the law, having died to that which held us captive. So we are at the table with our Savior and we celebrate this morning that we're free from the condemnation of the law, which is death. We're free from that. And God shows us the purpose for arranging this death in Christ in verse 4, and I want you to capture this. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ. Here's the purpose for it all, so that I may belong to another. Capture this in the context here. Paul's saying, like the wife, verse 1 through 3, because of Christ's death, we now are free to marry. And the marriage that Paul's talking about for us is a marriage to our Savior. We are free to be united to Jesus Christ, to him, verse 4, who's been raised from the dead. And so we're at the table together this morning, a special day to celebrate that we are released from the law, that we are unified with another, and that other is not just any other. We're united with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who Romans 6 says is never to die again. Praise God, friends, that our salvation is secure. It's eternal in Christ Jesus. Now, we need to tackle something here just for a moment. In Christ, you've died to the law. That does not mean that you and I now are free to go from here and we don't have to even worry about any commands that we read in Scripture anymore. That doesn't mean that we're free from God's commands. We did not die to the law so that we could go on and do what we want, do what we please. In essence, live lawlessly. We're free from the law. Let's go live lawlessly. That's not what God's called us to do. There's many specific commands in the New Testament for believers who have died to the law. So don't take what we're saying here this morning, that dying to the law frees you from having to obey the commands of God. What the Apostle Paul is getting at here is we've died to the law so that we may belong to another, to Christ, in order that, here's our responsibility, to bear fruit for God. To bear fruit for God. And this fruit can be summed up in one word that's used to sum up the entire law. Jesus said you can summarize the whole law in one word. Do you know what that word was? Love. Love. When we're released from the law, it doesn't mean that we can just float freely and go where we want and do what we please. Not at all. We're released from the law in order to produce within us love. Love for God, love for God's people. Why? Because we belong to another now. We're released and we belong to another, namely Christ. Paul points that out using that illustration, verses 1 through 3. He's saying the wife, she's under the authority of her husband as long as he lives. That's God's plan. It's right there in the text. And then he uses that comparison and says, everyone's under the authority of God's law. But the moment that you and I believe in Christ, the moment we identified with his death, with his resurrection, that's the moment we died to the law. We died to the law so that we could be free to belong to another, to be joined with Christ. And so this morning I ask you, friend, who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? This morning, more than ever, people value freedom. Have you noticed that? People go around and they boast, I'm nobody's slave. I'm independent. Have you heard things like this? That kind of thinking does not mesh with what Jesus Christ taught when he was on this earth. In John chapter 8, I draw your attention to some of Christ's teaching. He said to people, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What do you mean, set me free? I don't belong to anybody. I'm free. I'm independent. That's how the people were thinking back then too. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you'll become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a, key word, slave to sin. You know what Christ was teaching? He's saying that there is no true independence in a sin-cursed world. That's what he's getting at. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul echoed in Romans chapter 6. He says, do you not know that you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But now you've been set free from sin, amen, and listen, have become slaves of God. And Paul goes on and continues that teaching to another audience, this time in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 6, he says to them, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your bodies. And as you look at that phrase, you were bought with a price, if you're unfamiliar with what that price was, the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ obtained us with his own blood. And that's what we remember together at the table this morning. We remember that Christ suffered and died so that you and I might belong to him. And when you think about that big idea, friends, I hope you understand this is what makes that relationship with you and Christ so paramount. The Apostle Paul grasped it. Another place in Scripture, he didn't go on and say, "For me to live is keeping the law." He didn't say that, did he? What did he say, church? "For me to live is Christ." His relationship to Christ, belonging to Christ, was paramount. And so, friends, celebrate this morning that in Christ you've died to the law, and in the Spirit you are free to bear fruit. When we die to our old self, that means we're now free to live a new, a better way. Namely, to live to bear fruit for God. That's what Paul says there in verse 4 again. Such a key verse. "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ in order that we may bear fruit for God." I appreciate that this was emphasized in our Sunday school hour this last hour. About serving the Lord, doing what God calls you to do, bearing fruit for the Lord. Believer, if you're not bearing fruit for God, please understand you're not fulfilling God's purpose for which he saved you. You are saved to belong to another and to bear fruit for him. And so, friend, if you're not bearing fruit for God, I encourage you, especially before we come to the table to worship, to confess that sin to God, to claim the forgiveness that's available to you through Christ, and then to purpose to leave from here and say, "I belong to Christ through his death, through his resurrection. I want my life to be forever devoted to bearing fruit for God." Paul puts it this way in verse 6, "We're released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve." That phrase, "so that we serve," it's another way of saying so that we bear fruit in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And friends, verse 6 to me is a great reason for why we come to the table and we look at this text and we celebrate this morning. Because at the end of verse 6, Paul used new covenant language. He made a contrast here at the end between the new covenant and the old covenant. As he put it, between the new way of the Spirit and the old way of the written code. In other place in Scripture, the Apostle Paul identified himself as a minister of the new covenant. He wrote about it often. He says, "I'm not a minister of the letter. I'm not a minister of the written code. I'm a minister of the Spirit." And he said, "For the letter kills," but he said, "the Spirit gives life." And if you have the Spirit, you know that to be true. And so I know that you're probably thinking here about this new covenant, and maybe you're like, "What is that? Why is that important?" Well, hold your place in Romans 7 and go to a key text of Scripture in the Old Testament regarding the new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31. The prophet Jeremiah was used of God to share with God's people about this new covenant that was to come. And it's written here in Jeremiah 31, specifically verses 31 through 34. So as you find your place in Jeremiah 31, join me, follow along as I read 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32, not like the covenant, God's saying, not like the Ten Commandments, not like the written code which I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. You see how Paul's using that new covenant language and how it fits with what Jeremiah said? Though I was their husband. Verse 33, this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so at this moment here, God promised his people that in the new covenant, the law that they were so bound to, it will no longer mainly be external, namely, mainly be written on stone tablets. God was saying it will now mainly be internal. It'll be written on their hearts. And here's what it means, verse 34. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. So what the prophet is saying and exciting his people about is that in the new covenant, knowing the Lord is now more about an internal experience than an external obedience to the commands of God. And why is that possible to have this internal experience? Because of the truth of verse 34. For I will forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more. That's what we celebrate at the table this morning. That our iniquities are forgiven and God remembers them no more through the blood of Jesus Christ. That means in the new covenant, God provided everything that was necessary to take all our sins away. Are you thankful for that, friend? He grants each of us who know Jesus the experience of actually knowing the Lord. He writes the law on our hearts so that we would, Romans 7, bear fruit for God. So that we would love him, so that we would, Romans 7, 6, serve in the new way of the Spirit. And that's exactly what the prophet Ezekiel said when he spoke of the new covenant in Ezekiel 11. God says, I will give them, my people, one heart, and a new spirit I'll put within them. I'll remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my rules, and obey them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And we come to the table this morning and we celebrate that God made good on his promise regarding the new covenant. He delivered on it. Through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus poured out the Spirit into our hearts the moment we believed. It's precisely what Christ was getting at when he shared the Last Supper with his disciples before he died. In Luke chapter 22, as he held that cup, he said, this cup is poured out for you. It's the new covenant in my blood. And so we come to the table this morning today, friends, to rejoice that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I, we can know the Lord. You and I can have our iniquities forgiven. Because of the blood of Jesus, the Spirit is put within our hearts. So remember, in Christ, you've died to the law. It served its purpose. It drove us as lawbreakers to Christ, the Holy One, for salvation. And now, in the Spirit, you are free. Which takes us all the way back to Romans chapter 7, verse 6. We're released from the law having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Our Savior suffered and died so that we might belong to him and bear fruit for God. And so I wrap this up before we come to the table together here by asking you the same question I asked you earlier. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? And friend, if you're sitting here and you're not sure how to answer that question, if you would say that you're not sure you belong to Christ, who I've talked a lot about, what you've heard from Romans 6 this morning is that if you leave here and do not belong to Christ, you will continue in sin. You will be a slave to sin. And as a slave to sin, you will suffer the consequences of sin, which is death. And friend, that doesn't have to be for you from this day forward. All that can change right here, right now, together this morning. Right where you're sitting, you can turn away from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Set free from the law and belong to the one who will never die again, Jesus Christ. And if you need help making that most important decision after this service, please see me or someone who brought you. And we'd be delighted to help you make the most important decision for your life. There is nothing like knowing the Lord and belonging to him. Nothing. Nothing compares. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, remember as we come to the table, we are not our own. We're bought with a price. We have to glorify God in our bodies. We have to bear fruit for God. The purchase price that he obtained us with was his very own blood. Remember that. That's what was necessary in order for us to say, I belong to Christ. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to hear these words from the Word of God. Thank you for the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, free from the law. Thank you that we can say we belong to another. And that in Christ we stand justified before you. What a grace gift. Father, I just pray that you would prepare within our hearts the appropriate manner that we need to have at the table as we commune with the Lord. I just pray that you would use this time at the table in a special way to help us to remember what was necessary for our salvation, to look forward to what's to come, the return of Jesus Christ, and to be reminded of our purpose to bear fruit for God until he comes. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.